If the Lord should be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in Psalm 23. The first sentence in the third verse, He restoreth my soul. Psalm 23, the first sentence in the third verse. As you think on this subject, He restoreth my soul, some of you will find in your hearts a concern that God would be pleased to do it for you, and that you might echo these words of godly David long ago, He restoreth my soul. How many under Union Chapel roof at this time before God can appeal to Him as the sinner's friend and declare, it is well with my soul? Let your consciences tell you what the answer really is. The great majority of you concerned about your soul's eternal welfare, I judge, would be glad beyond words to describe if the Lord would indeed appear for you and help you to feel matters are right between your soul and Him with whom you have to do. And now this word before us is a word for which you should thank God and take courage in considering it. This word is in the present tense. He restoreth my soul. And there is help in God, hope in God for poor sinners who desire to feel it is well with my soul. And I want, as the Lord, to help me to look at this subject from three or four viewpoints, and it is a word that I judge you need to be reminded about. And it is not vain repetition to bring it before you again and again. He restoreth my soul. Godly David, in the Psalms which he was inspired of God to pen, makes known how things were at times with his soul. And it is very evident that the things of God were often at a low ebb in godly David's soul. And he uses striking language to describe how he felt. Leave not my soul destitute. Margin, make not my soul bare. And that solemn lament, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away from thy presence. And a word like this, I mourn in my complaint and make a noise unto the Lord. And yet another word, my heart is sore pained within me. And many such like words the dear psalmist used before God, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth was speaking. And he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. And now that is how faith, though it be as a grain of mustard seed, will argue before God. Quicken thou me. Why should I do it? says God, as it were, according to thy word. Oh, thou hast said, if ye being evil know how to give good things unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He restoreth my soul. And now, first of all, it is well to get down to bedrock in approaching the subject. And it is well to remember the dear psalmist was concerned about his soul. Oh, he did want matters to be right between his soul and God. Do you? Are you possessed with that concern in everyday life? My soul, what will become of it? My soul, which is never dying and is bound for an eternal destiny, heaven or hell, my soul, oh, that God would make matters right between my soul and him with whom I have to do. It is a wonderful mercy to have that concern wrought within. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. And now, when the psalmist said, he restoreth my soul, it is very evident the psalmist was not a dead soul. The dear man had his soul alive in things divine and was the subject of that all-important concern that his soul might rejoice in the salvation of God. He restoreth my soul. And now some of you, I can only draw a bow at a venture. If you say, I would be glad if God would do this for my soul. And now what is wrong with your soul? Are you the subject of a soul cast down? Are you saying, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me? And why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Are you like the psalmist was in one place? We cannot see our signs. Are you a poor sinner with a soul in which you could once look and see things that you knew of a certainty were things that God had wrought for you and that he had called you by his grace, and now you look in your soul and you say, if I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild, full of unbelief and sin, can I deem myself a child? Oh, you are a cast down soul. Cast down because you cannot feel that matters are right between God and you. You are not a dead soul. A cast down soul you are. You shall never be a cast off soul. Here is a word to help you. Cast down, but not destroyed. What you felt in bygone experiences remains a reality in your soul. Although you have lost the happiness of it and the peace of mind it produced when you felt it, if once upon our hearts we feel the love of Christ impressed, the mark of that celestial seal can never be erased. Remember that. It may be you are not so much a soul cast down as you are a soul bewildered. And that is no new experience, no strange line of things for sinners born again to be the subject of. Oh, there are many sinners born again who, when they weigh matters up regarding their soul have to realize that they are bewildered and know not where they are, what they are in things divine. Like the hymn writer puts it, some small glimmering light I have, yet too dark to see my way. Jesus' presence still I crave, when, oh when, will it be day? You remember, the psalmist says in one psalm of his, and it shows what a concern there was. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Oh, that is a good place for a soul to be in. Although it is a soul bewildered, a soul benighted, yet waiting for the dawning of the day, waiting for the day star to arise and shine and help you to feel as you want to feel. The Lord bless you, poor sinner. And the Word of God holds out much to encourage you. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. The vision is for an appointed time, though it tarry, wait for it. In the end it shall speak and not lie. It will surely come, it will not tarry. Remember that. He restoreth my soul. And now it may be your soul is a tempted soul, and you are being harassed by the evil one, and your soul is flooded with ifs and buts and hows to sink you in the gloom of all that's dismal in this world or in the world to come. Oh, Satan is a terrible foe, and he comes upon poor sinners regarding their soul's eternal welfare with many insinuations, many a temptation, and he seeks to undermine their hope in God and to belittle the influence of their profession of Jesus' name. And very solemn it is to be a tempted soul. And yet, the Lord will appear for such an one. Trust in him, ye tempted saints. Tell him all your sad complaints. Here present help will be, give you strength and victory. And then it might be, I'm still drawing a bow at a venture, in describing your soul is not so much a cast down soul, a benighted soul, a tempted soul, as it is an entangled soul. You are here before God, and if you told the truth, you can tell it to God, but not to man. You are guilty. There is this and that in your life that you want none other beneath the sun to know anything about, but you know it. And although you desire to hope in God, and you want matters to be put right between him and you, you have got this and that in your life which makes you say, as godly David did, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And now there is help in God for you. Even you with an entangled soul, who have fallen a prey to some evil within or without, and now you are fast tied and bound in the chain of your own sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there is that wonderful word in Jeremiah only acknowledge thine iniquity. I've often thought, what a wonderful word that is. If you get help from God to do that, what will God say? I will be merciful to your unrighteousness, and your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. He delighteth in mercy. And if you are helped to put your mouth in the dust of self-abasement, if so be, there may be hope. You will prove Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy eternal, mercy cries. And you will know this, he restoreth my soul. But then I hope the great majority of you before God, in describing your soul, is it correct to say your soul is a hungry soul? I hunger now for heavenly food. My poor soul cries out for God. Your soul is a thirsty soul. The psalmist said, my soul thirsteth for God. Your soul is a longing soul. What a good word that is to describe one's soul. Especially when you think of this, he satisfieth the longing soul. And now you can long for a thing and yet not put into words what you long for, but you carry it about within your breast, a longing, a yearning, a pining, an aching void, which this world cannot fill. But it is how you feel in your soul. Yes. The Lord bless you, poor sinner. The word of God speaks well of you. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He satisfieth the longing soul. Do you remember that David said in his earlier life? The word of God records it. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me to drink of the water that is in the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Just how some of you feel. Some living water give to me, or I should droop and die. He restoreth my soul. Now the next thing to contemplate in this line of things is the possibility of it. And you are not to question the possibility of it. You are not allowed to do it. I know you do it, but you are guilty in doing it. Remember that. You're only allowed to think what the word of God declares. You are not allowed to think your own thoughts as to whether God will do this or that. God makes it plain in the sacred pages what he will do, what he will not do. And one thing he will not do is this. Him that cometh unto me, I will never, never cast out. What he will do is this. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Therefore, there is the possibility of this, the promise of it. The word of God lays it down. He restoreth my soul. And the guarantee that every sinner born again shall be able to rejoice at length and declare, he restoreth my soul. I say the guarantee for it is because the word of God declares, now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. I want you never to forget what I've told you, not once or twice, that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead on that Easter morn, long ago, that the Church of Christ rose in him, in mystical union with him, as the Church's living head. And that means, however low you may sink in your soul's experience, there is help in God and hope in God for you. And remember what I read to you. And there it is made very plain, and it tells of resurrection too, where it says, O my people, I will bring you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. And he says, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And now, to be in a grave sets forth a very solemn, a very painful experience. And yet, not to remain there always. O my people, I will bring you up out of your graves, is the promise. And he who says, I am the resurrection and the life, is able to do it. Yes. And the psalmist knew something about that. And it is well to think of that word. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down into the pit. You see, there is the possibility that your soul can be restored. There is the promise of divine aid to do it. There is a sure guarantee. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask and think regarding it. And there is another word here which is very helpful to think about your soul being restored and the prospect of it. Here, the word of the Lord is, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, I will feed them with judgment. You see, Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. All to do with restoring poor sinners' souls, whatever their case may be. And thinking of this subject from that viewpoint, there is another word here that you might memorize and plead before God. And Solomon, at the temple dedication, when he offered up that wondrous prayer of his, what does he say which fits in with our souls being restored in their felt need of it? If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive. God is just like that, dear friends. He delighteth in mercy. And his word is, return unto me, and I will return unto you. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. much might be said along that line of thought. He restoreth my soul. And now, another viewpoint of the subject is this. What is it in your soul, if you weigh it up before God and tell the truth, that needs to be restored? Maybe you would be very comprehensive and say, as far as I can judge, everything to do with religion that is of God, in every aspect of it, needs to be restored in my soul. And is that how you feel about it? The Lord help you to tell him all the truth. You will find his word is a sure word, and from me is thy fruit found. You see, dear friends, you and I have got to come to this bedrock truth. A guilty, weak, and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength, my righteousness, my Jesus, and my all. But let us get down to this line of things. He restoreth my soul. And now, what does really need to be restored in your soul? First of all, faith needs to be restored. Because the Word of God makes some wonderful declarations concerning faith. And it often troubles me because I fear neither pastor or people know very much about it. Maybe here a little, there a little. How about this word? The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And when the Savior says, be not afraid, only believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. You and I need to plead, Lord, increase our faith. Oh, that needs to be restored to its proper place in our soul, that preacher and people alike may appear before God in no denial tape while they plead for Jesus' sake. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And not only so, hope needs to be restored in our soul, because hope is not always felt to be a good hope through grace. And it might be quite a long while since some of you dear people who hope in God did rejoice in hope. The great majority of folk are like this, hoping against hope. Though by my sins deserving hell, or not despair, for who can tell? I do like that word in the Epistle to the Romans, we are saved by hope. And I like our hymn writer's definition of it. All through the wilderness below, good hope expects more good to know, and thus is kept alive the soul. Have you been expecting more good lately? Have you been urgent and in earnest before God? Show me a token for good. Or is it the truth you are at ease in Zion and settled on your lees? A very solemn place to be in. And you will need your soul to be restored if you live there long. And God may be pleased to do it with giving you a terrible shake-up when at length he puts his hand a second time to the work. Remember that. Faith needs to be restored. Hope needs to be restored. And above all things, love needs to be restored. Oh, it is a sweet, blessed grace. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, says Paul. I say so too. And you have said, God only knows the love of God. Oh, that it now were shed abroad in my poor stony heart. Love needs to be restored. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Yes. He that loveth is born of God. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And then you must tell the truth and admit that if your soul is to be restored, then prayer needs to be restored. Oh, you need the spirit of prayer poured upon you, the grace of supplication. Yes, because when prayer is a burden and task, no wonder I little receive. O Lord, make me willing to ask, since thou art so ready to give. The Lord teach us to pray. Everything hinges on it. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Saviour said that. Do remember it. Prayer needs to be restored. And how about praise? Oh, what a needs be there is for praise to be restored. And now this same dear psalmist, he restoreth my soul. You remember how he said, Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. But then he said also, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It is a wonderful mercy to be made a thankful soul. Do prize it when you get the least touch of it. When the goodness of God begins to thaw with beams of love divine, your frozen heart, as it often seems to be, make the most of it. Take down your heart. And now to the praise of Christ our God, bid every string away. The psalmist will help you and join with you, as it were. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And this will be your theme, He restoreth my soul. Another thing needs to be restored. Zeal. I like that word. And you know I stress it in my ministry, and I do in any pulpit where the subject comes up to allow me to do it. I remember when I was young in the ministry, I used to be told a great deal about zeal, not according to knowledge, by the old folks who seemed to stress that line of things. But then there is a zeal according to knowledge. And you and I should know something about it and should evidence it in our lips and lives. You think of the dear Saviour as Beverly Man when he went into the temple and turned out the buyers and sellers and the money changers and all that ought not to be. When he made that scourge of small cords and said, Take these things hence. My Father's house is a house of prayer. Ye have made it a house of merchandise and den of thieves. I like that line of things. It appeals to me. And then you read in that record of it, his disciples remembered it was said, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. It has done me good quite a few times as Union Chapel pastor to see something of a real zeal, a scriptural zeal by many of you who have done what you can for our cause of truth, to maintain it, keep it renovated, and that it might be habitable for us as a people to worship God therein. And now you are showing your zeal in doing other things outside, and the Lord bless you. And it is good to have that zeal, because the motive of it is this. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thine house and the place where thine honour dwelleth. But it often needs to be restored. It can soon die down. Needs fresh fuel put on such a fire when it burns within. And this is the way he restoreth my soul. But then all these things can be summed up as regards your soul, my soul. What really needs to be restored is just this: fruitfulness. Fruitfulness, dear friends. Quickened by thee and kept alive, I'd flourish and bear fruit. My life I'd from thy sap derive, my vigour from thy root. He restoreth my soul. And then there is another viewpoint of it. If you are in earnest that God in his infinite mercy, his great condescension, will do this for you. If you say, oh, that he would restore my soul. Have you got deep down a willingness to receive whatever means God may be pleased to use to do it? And now you need to weigh that up before God. Because it may be God will use some terrible things in righteousness to bring it about. Or he may use some gentle means. He may drive you, or he may draw. Remember that. He may put some more bitters in life's cup. And it will be for you then to say, the cup which my heavenly Father hath given to me, shall I not drink it? And I must tell you plainly, and wish you well in telling you, that until you do drink it, and drink it willingly, you will not get what you want, and that is, he restoreth my soul. When you can drink it and realize, though our cup seems filled with gall, there's something secret sweetens all, you will find your soul is restored. And you feel as you want to feel, that matters are being made right between God and you. He restoreth my soul. And now, when the husbandman is concerned in his orchards to have more fruit and good fruit, top-notch fruit, then he does quite a deal of pruning. And sometimes if you watch him at work, the husbandman seems to be quite ruthless. But in his mind he has got one thought. He purgeth it, cleanseth is the meaning, that it may bring forth more fruit. Yes. Sometimes it is done by this pruning, more or less severe. Sometimes more fruit is brought about by digging about the roots. And there is such a thing as root pruning. And that is a very painful process. But it is all to bring about, he restoreth my soul. God may lay some affliction upon you. Or he may bring a day of adversity into your life following a day of prosperity. He may load your shoulders well with woe and thus attain his end. And that end is to do what you want to be done. He restoreth my soul. Yes. Much might be said along that line of thought. And it will be a great mercy if while this restoration is being brought about in your soul, if you can humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and feel it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Choose thou the way, still lead on, nor leave me till I say, Father, thy will be done. And coming to the Amen, there is another thought He restoreth my soul. And when these things to do with your religion, faith, hope, love, prayer, praise, zeal, fruitfulness, the things I just said a little about, when all these things are restored, what also will be restored? What will be the evidence of the restoration of your soul, within and without? One evidence will be you will have a tender heart, and now the things of God will be uppermost in your thoughts. The things to do with this life will take their proper place. You will find that time and eternity is now viewed aright. You have got back to a bedrock truth. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Not only so, he restoreth my soul. And now you will find, instead of the worship of God being as so often it has been, cold and formal, and you coming and going and getting no good, no evidence of growing in grace, no instruction in righteousness, now you are brought back into that great word and the truth of it. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And you feel, when in the attitude of worship, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Oh, you have got back to where you love to be, sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in a right mind. He restoreth my soul. And then you will find this is restored, all that God has ever done for your soul. It was a reality all the while. But now, in heaven's own light, you can look back over the way God has led you and see the way marks and the eye heaps and your bygone experiences. You can live over again and see how God has led you forth by the right way. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. He restoreth my soul. And then there is this thought also. You will find now the word of God takes its proper place in your life. When your soul is sick, benighted, tempted, entangled, you get very much of the earthy in everyday life. And you might be left then to be quite a bit entangled with the things of everyday life which are inimical to your soul's welfare. Such things as the radio, and such things as the newspaper, and such things as worldly books which are not edifying or profitable to read, and such things as television. You find these things are inimical to your soul's welfare, and now you want all these things to go. When you get this great mercy wrought in your soul, he restoreth my soul, you find it is the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of God shall man live. And you find then the Holy Bible takes its proper place in your soul's esteem, and you want to be looking into it, and you want to live inside it, and you want to feel, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Yes. You can sometimes get to where Jeremiah did. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He restoreth my soul. And when your soul is restored, then if your name is on a church book, you will remember it is there, and it will be your great concern to live in accordance with what you profess to be. And you will feel, Lord, hast thou made me know thy ways? Conduct me in thy fear, and grant me such supplies of grace that I may persevere. And now your soul is restored. You say, Lord, never let me fall a prey to ill or evil, but let my soul be kept healthy at whatever cost it is, and lively in things to do with thee and thine, that I may feel it is well with my soul, living and dying. Amen. Hymn number 1060.